B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, it's a 3 o'clock hour of the Mike Misnelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. The 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corpulese Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie. Hoagie party tray is every bit as good. Talk to Rich Hoffman, covers the Sixers for the Athletic. 4:30. They'll chime in. You know, tonight, they still have a full rotation because Richardson's going to be back tonight.
It'll say 50-50.
He'll probably play. Right. I'm thinking he would play. So your starting line tonight is Jay Rich, Ben, who would be playing Adele with a heavy heart, Joel, he's got an angry heart because of Ben, Al, who apparently left his heart in Boston, and Tobias is your starting team. And then off the bench, your boy, Shakey, will probably be first off.
Yeah, he's right? Now moved ahead of Ennis. That's part of the reason why they moved him.
Shake Milton off the bench. Furkey will be the second guy off the bench.
Mike Scott will still be off the bench.
Scott with Thibel, a tie for who comes in next. Yeah. And then Neto grabs some point guard in the minutes. No Trey, no O'Quinn. So that means Al's going to have to play a little bit five tonight. Now the trade... So Morris went with Isaiah Thomas. The Clippers get Isaiah Thomas also in that deal. Jerome Robinson goes to the Wizards. Harkless and a first go to the Knicks, who just made a shakeup today. And the local Cherry Hill-based agent Leon Rose is now the president of the Knicks.
Yep.
And it's interesting how he started. Now he's president of the Knicks. He started as a guy who was trying to make his way in the business and thought DeJuan Wagner was his ticket to the big time and wound up representing DeJuan Wagner. And then he parlayed that into a primo agent spot with CAA, where he represents many big names, including Joel Embiid, who now has to look for a new agent.
Yes.
And so Leon Rose is also taking the man behind the scenes, known as Worldwide Wes, who has brokered a lot of deals with players in colleges and players in pros and players in agents and all that stuff.
And they'll have at least 7 first-round picks over the next 4 years with this deal, because they'll get the Clippers pick this year, and that's going to vest because the Clippers are a really good team. So there's that. At least they'll have assets to start with up there, local guys.
I guess the hope is that Worldwide West will be able to lure some big names to New York. But see, it's one thing being a independent agent on the street working deals, and then you go into a structured environment where you're governed by salary caps and stuff like that.
Yeah, it appears. So we'll see. Yeah, that's a good point. And it appears the Lakers did not make a deal, so they were able to get Anthony Davis in that trade, but they weren't able to make any deals at the deadline either, and they were trying hard. So unless something comes out late, you know, the deadline's over, but stuff still trickles out.
Marcus Morris definitely helps the Clippers.
Yes. Yeah, Isaiah won't play. Isaiah Thomas won't play for him because they got Lou Will and other guys. But but that's probably a salary situation. But Morris will absolutely help them.
All right, 610-622-0975. Let's go to Al in Overbrook. Al, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Al.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Al?
I'm just frustrated as a fan. You know, I've been watching this stuff for 40 years. And I've never, in all my years of watching all the Philly sports scene, I've never seen the fan be so patient as we've been with Brown. I mean, like, you know, it was time for him to go, like, the year before last when the Celtics got us.
Well, that's unfair. Because last year people were saying that he was on a hot seat last year, and they went to this game 7 and a 4 bouncer. At that point, were you prepared to fire him off of that circumstance?
I mean, basketball, like my favorite sport, so like I've been watching him. Like,
yeah, I know, but I'm gonna ask you a question. Like, what's practical and what you think should happen is two different matters.
I would have wanted I want a better coach.
Well, you're telling me that if you were the general manager, off of that game 7, where you're one bounce away or from going to overtime and maybe get to the next level, that's the time you would have fired him? Like, there's some things that are practical and some things are not.
I don't think he was the coach to get us over the hump.
I got your opinion, but you're ignoring my opinion. There's practicality involved. You can't make a decision to clip your coach after that. There are certain circumstances.
But I'm saying, you asked my opinion. I got a brief call here. I would have got rid of him. Now let me just give you my opinion.
All right. Well, that's totally unreasonable. But go ahead.
So now, you know, you got Tyronn Lue was out there, championship pedigree coach, and like he like the fifth best coach in the East. He like we got the first best roster.
Who's the championship caliber coach? Tyronn Lue?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, oh really?
Like four straight.
Is that right? Who was his star player? Jonah Bolden? Come on, man.
I mean, they all get stars.
Come on, let's go.
To be a good coach, you're going to get good players.
Yeah, of course.
You're going to need good players.
Yeah. He had LeBron James, for crying out loud. Come on.
Right. And Phil Jackson had Mike. And so, you know, that argument ain't good.
All right. So let's get to the crux. The heat's on Brett Brown. I don't know what you listen to, but every day somebody calls in with heat on Brett Brown.
Yeah, but he's still here. And
he is here. And you have now it's reasonable to say they should have clipped him. But you can't, like, revisionist history say, I would have clipped him, because you wouldn't have. It would be impractical for you to fire a coach coming off of that circumstance. Now, this week, after that Miami game, it was clear to me that something drastic had to happen for the Sixers to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. That was either or both a removal of a head coach to give him a spark or a significant acquisition or both. They didn't do that. They made an acquisition that makes them better. So at this point, they're going to let it ride with the head coach with these two new players. And at the end of the season, whatever happens, happens. But it's not going to happen now where they're going to get rid of the coach. That's over. That ship has sailed. Let's go Rock in Atlanta. Rock, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rock.
Hey, how y'all doing today, ladies and gentlemen?
What's up, Rock?
Hey, I'm sitting here listening, and I feel like the guy who called about the whole theory about being with the family, that theory works if you're regular Joe Schmo. I mean, my wife and I have both stressful jobs, and every now and then, if one of us is stressed, come, let's go to the hotel, have some fun, and get back on with life. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't work for Ben Simmons, who's on a losing streak on the road and then still has not shot a jump shot or a three-pointer, and God knows when. And the most irritating thing about that whole thing is you took two and you made two. Why not shoot more? But at the end of the day, I'm still not worried. I'm still optimistic. I've been watching basketball for a long time, and I feel like this team reminds me the most of the 94-95 Houston Rockets, who finished the season at 47-35, but made a trade at the end to get Mario Elie, offensive player, like Burke, and they went on as a 6 seed to win the finals.
Nah, man, different league. That was a different league back then.
I honestly still believe, Mike, in my heart of hearts, there's not a team in the East, including Milwaukee or Miami, who I think.
What are you seeing? What are you seeing?
I honestly think that they're just going through a rut.
Rut. They've been the same level all year. It's not a rut. They haven't had a significant run where they look like an Eastern Conference champion.
I think the turnover starts tonight with Milwaukee. I think we get on the right track. I'm just trying to be optimistic.
I get you being optimistic, but come on, bro.
You got to be optimistic. We got too much.
You can brought me back to Mario Elie, for crying out loud. That's not optimistic.
Come on, we got to have some type of optimistic.
Mario Elie? For crying out loud. You mean Mario Elie? come on, Rock. You're killing me.
The
Milwaukee Bucks are in single-digit losses.
Yeah, but
there's a reason for that.
The playoffs. That's how you have to look at it.
All right.
And we have two.
Rock, so you're telling me with a straight face, you think this team right now is good enough with the acquisitions they just made? It's good enough to be the kingpin in the East.
I think so.
All right. Well, listen, that's your opinion. That's your opinion. I don't happen to share that opinion, but that's your opinion. All right. Now let's look at the Brett Brown situation, which our previous caller brought up. Now, if they had lost that series in, say, 5 games, which they could very well have, then you have a clear case of moving on from a coach, right?
Yeah.
When you get to game 7 and you lose by a deuce, that's not a disappointment enough to clip the coach. It might not be that good of a reason to keep the coach, but certainly when you're talking about clipping a coach, there has to be a level of exasperation where you go, okay, it's clear that we need to make a change. That was not clear to make a change. last year.
And there was no obvious coach in the market. Sometimes there's obvious coaches on the market. Guys, mm-hmm. they get clipped from a different job. They sit out a year, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
There was no obvious coach where you go, you know what? That guy's definitely better than the guy that just got us to the four bouncer. Mm-hmm. Then that team that you lose on the four bouncer to then goes on to win the whole thing.
Yes.
So it's not like they lost to the team that won,
right.
that won the whole thing.
Everything is about circumstances.
Right. Right?
He brought up the Ben thing. There's circumstances where that may not be a big deal. Right now, the circumstances are that it is a big deal. All right? It's a sliding scale. Now, when they lost to Miami the other night, to me, that looked like a clearing to be able to make a coaching change. And I say that with all due respect to Brett Brown, and I don't like to come out and say somebody lose their job. But that created a clearing, because what you witnessed in that game was a team that just did not respond to a head coach and looked like they completely tuned him out. At that point, I would not have been mad at the Sixers if they decided to make a change. They decided not to. They decided to stay on with them and then use the trading deadline to help improve this team. So now, here we go. Now we start the race. Somebody's got the cap pistol. Bang. Now we'll see. And at the end, if they lose in the first round, there's absolutely no way he's going to keep his job.
No, first round loss. And I think second round loss, there would be a lot of pressure from the fan base as well. So.
All right. Let's go to Donald Narstown. Donald, you're a 97.5 Fanatic. Donald.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Donald?
The point which I'm making is that everybody picks Ben Simmons. But the point I'm making is he was never a shooting guard. You have to have somebody who can be consistent and make the shots from the outside.
And yeah, well, we've been down this road many times before. Yes, right. I agree with you. But now, he is a point guard. There's no question in my mind that he's a point guard, because he can do things at that position that nobody else can do in the league, and that gives you a tremendous advantage. Now, you're not wrong about the shot, and whether that comes is a matter of conjecture. And if it doesn't come, then guess what? You probably have to move on from him.
Well, one thing I will have to say, mm-hmm. one thing that Neil really needs work on is the defense. To me, standing around watching people go to the hoop shooting easy points, it shouldn't happen.
Well, that was Miami, but they are not a bad defensive team.
Yeah, well, I've seen that go a lot with them standing there while people are going inside. Easy.
Yeah, well, that happens to most every NBA team. The Sixers, yeah. by and large, are better than most defensive team.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's a question to me.
Well, I think the numbers would tell you that they're a decent defensive team.
But I think it's a good team overall. They're all good, except that you just had to correct a couple things, and that'd be it.
What do they have to correct? What do you think they
need to actually have a shooter, somebody who can nail them shots,
yeah.
and they have to play better defense.
They're the fourth-ranked defensive team in the league.
Yeah, I mean, that's ranking.
Were you aware of that?
I'm not really happy with defense, because too much I'm seeing. You know, there's too much of faults on the defense.
Bro, I don't know what to tell you. They're the fourth-ranked defense in the NBA. I hear where you see some things where people are going to the basket, but there's only three teams that are ranked ahead of them better defensively. They need to score is what this team needs to do. They have a very inconsistent methodology of scoring the basketball, as coaches will tell you. Scoring the basketball. They don't score the basketball very easily. Hopefully now they can score it a little more easily when you got two 40% three-point shooters. Let's go Anthony and Malvern. Anthony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony.
Mikey Miss, what's up?
What's up, Anthony?
I'm just trying to figure out with this whole Ben Simmons thing. If they lost the coach, or the coach lost them, and they're interacting negatively in the locker room, where's the leadership to bring this thing together? Who's the voice?
That's a good point.
Where does it go from here?
It's a really good point. And, they need, like, it's funny because Tyra and I were watching TV before, and we were watching this NBA show, and that Matt Barnes creep was on, right? Now, he's a creep, right? But he's a guy in the locker room who probably would stand up to anybody. right?
Right.
So like, if they're coming back on an airplane after that disaster, where one of their star players just mailed it in, where he's frolicking poolside and then stays over an extra night, that would tick me off as a player.
Exactly.
So if there's a mindset like Matt Barnes in there, when Ben does get back to the locker room, practice, whatever, then I would have said something if I was like a Matt Barnes type of guy. They don't have that on the team.
Right.
Al Horford is not that type of guy. He's a leader on a team that doesn't need shock. This team needs shock right now.
What do you mean? He's a tin man. Left his heart in Boston.
It looks like he thinks that he made a wrong decision. You can just tell a body language of a guy lamenting the fact that he made a decision to go here instead of staying in Boston.
Well, I know that I'm not accepting anything less than a number four seed for this team. I mean, that's, you got to take from what we did.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That's got no way of happening.
You gotta
look at the standings, bro. There's no way that's happening.
You have the talent to do that.
No, you don't, really. You don't have the talent. You know how much space you have to make up to get there?
Yeah,
to get to the four spot?
They dug a hole, but they'd have to have a nice series.
They're almost four games out of that slot. They can't make up four games.
True, because their road record stinks.
Well, yeah, but then the other team, you don't think the other team's going to lose. Just lose for them. The best they could possibly do is the fifth seed. Either way, they aren't going to have home court advantage in the first round.
Right. All right.
It's not good. There's no way that they could. They're not going to get on a streak where they win eight in a row.
No, that's what they need.
Like, they're going to win eight in a row and the Heat are going to lose 4-8. Like, that's not going to, that circumstance is not going to happen. You may be able to be a chip away, you'll get gain a game here, gain a game, but then you're going to lose, then here you're going to win, and you're going back to the same thing. It's practically impossible for them to make up four games with the status of the Heat right now.
Probably. I mean,
Jimmy Butler
got hurt last night. See how long he's going to be out. That would help.
Okay, they only have 16 losses, right? They play well together. I can't imagine they're going to fall apart.
No, without Jimmy Butler, though, I think they would. If you had a stretch of 8-2, and they had a stretch of 5-5.
So you're still thinking that maybe the four seed is available to them.
If they go and have an 8-2 stretch, if the Sixers have it, I think the Heat are capable of a 5-5 stretch if Jimmy Butler is hurt. And he hurt his shoulder last night. They haven't had the result.
So Keith Pompey is reporting they're waiving Trey Burke.
Yeah, there you go. So he was, as we predicted.
Yeah, so
several minutes ago, that Trey would be the guy to go.
So it appears in the East, the only teams to make a trade, only playoff team to make a trade, were the Sixers and the Heat. And everybody else sort of stood pat among the playoff teams. Nobody else made a deal. But luckily for the Sixers, the Heat were not able to pry away Gallinari, who will not be traded. And OKC didn't make a trade, which is significant for the Sixers for one reason. If their pick is 20th or worse, the Sixers get their first-round pick back. And now they've been the second-best team in the NBA since Thanksgiving. So it's somewhat significant if you're a Sixers fan that OKC didn't
make a trade. Well, OKC got Dion Waiters.
No, Memphis.
Oh, Memphis got Dion Waiters?
Yeah.
Wasn't OKC?
No.
Oh, okay.
OKC ended up not moving anybody.
Oh, all
anybody.
Right. So Dion moves to Memphis.
Memphis. Right. So Memphis made a bunch of deals. OKC didn't. They have the second best record since Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Sixers have their first round pick if it's 20th or worse. It looked like that was impossible, but the way they've been playing, the Sixers look like they will, after all, have a first round pick in next year's draft, which means they'd have one in the summer to make a trade, possibly.
All right, Oklahoma City is the sixth seed in the Western Conference.
They've overachieved.
They really have.
And so now that owner was looking to get under the luxury tax and trade people, but when you're the sixth seed and there's only two really good teams in the West, the Clippers and the Lakers, you think, I got a shot to win in the first round against a three seed like a Denver or somebody. Mm-hmm. So you can't get rid of anybody. That actually helps the Sixers pick portfolio because they own that OKC pick if they're good.
Bobby, can you do me a favor?
What's that?
Could you call engineering
and
disguise your voice, though? Disguise your voice and say, it's Preston from Preston and Steve.
No, because we did.
And I'm up here on the fourth floor, and I'm just working out. Okay, you think you can come out and help me do something? Can you do that, please?
Because we did that
hour ago. We did it at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yes.
We did it the first commercial break.
Still not be able to get in my email, and we put the call in, but see, we don't rank. So So just do yourself. Dude, can you be fair? Can you disguise your voice?
I can't. Hello. Have Natalie do it. Natalie,
hello, it's Preston.
Nah, do your real Philly voice and say, or I don't know, can you fake like your
Preston or Steve. Whatever voice you can do.
Hello, it's me,
Steve. So we actually
can you be Casey Boy? Do Casey Boy's voice. Somebody. Marissa. Somebody.
Oh, it's Casey. It's Casey Boy.
Wait a minute. You're not Preston. Well, while you're here, could you get Mike into his email?
What do you mean I'm not Preston or Steve?
I swear to God. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3:30 time for a Twitter poll update, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Eganoff. Natalie?
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,600 votes on this one today. Are you happy with what the Sixers did? 54% say yes, 46% say no. So it's pretty close.
All right. Sounds good. A little circumstance to discuss that has nothing to do with basketball. Just a everyday protocol question.
Okay.
So I get totally annoyed when I'm behind somebody at a red light and they're not paying attention to the red light and it turns green. And I usually give them a couple of seconds to figure it out. And then the decorum that I use is just a little toot. Is there any reason to lay on your horn? it's a reflection of your anger. I get it. Right? Because today I happen to be looking down at Twitter, and the light must have turned green. So I got the blare horn.
Wow.
Instead of the little toot. I always make sure the little toot, because it's not their fault. They were paying attention to something else. So I can't give them the angry toot. I get the angry toot today.
We've talked about this before. I call it the Philadelphia honk. And you give a little boop. Just like a reminder, like a heads up.
The Philadelphia honk really is the angry honk.
No. The Philadelphia honk is the polite, I need you to get out of my way.
I don't know about that.
Like, if I've never gotten the polite in Philly ever.
What?
I get the heavy honk even when I'm not wrong.
No, it's the Philadelphia honk because the blocks are tiny. So sometimes there's always things that are going on. So
Mike lives in the suburb.
I know, but I'm saying you politely... tap on it.
How do you know where I was? You know where I was.
You in the city.
I didn't tell you where I was.
I say the Philadelphia honk is polite because it's kind of like, okay, we need to move along here.
It's Nishtyland Avenue.
Yeah.
That's where I was.
Yeah. But some people can't be polite.
I got the Blair honk. I was a little unnerved by the Blair honk. I don't think the Blair honk is necessary.
How long were you not paying attention?
Yeah, it
couldn't have been more than a couple seconds. I mean, I'm always kind of looking up and looking down, looking up, looking down.
If it's
down,
a couple seconds, but if it's a long time, like I've one time sat there and I tried to be polite and the light turned yellow.
I laid on the horn.
My point is, what did you do, the toot first?
Yeah,
the
person didn't pay attention.
If you go little toot first and they don't respond, then here comes the blare horn, the blare toot. But you can't come out of the box with the blare toot. You got to give the warning toot.
Now, some horns...
What?
Are different.
No, stop horn. You just give a little shot. And
because some now... On the windshield have the little buttons rather than... I just have my horns just right in the center.
What? Little
button. Some has a little button on the side.
Who's got a little button?
There's certain cars that had that.
What cars?
They're not the cars kind you drive. A smaller button, and that's not... So when you find it...
What's the need for a button? That's more sophisticated. If it's a lesser quality car, why would they take the time to put a sophisticated button in there?
I don't know. But I've seen it.
Doesn't make any sense.
I've seen it.
I think
when that center doesn't do anything.
I think you're stretching the truth.
I'm not stretching the truth.
The more expensive the car, the more there'd be a button.
I'll have a guy send it. Some people on Twitter will have my back. Some cars, the horn has two little buttons that have a horn.
I've never seen a button.
And the center doesn't have the horn.
I've never seen a button.
You
can't improve the horn system with a button.
No,
the horn's a horn.
Some cars have it.
Which is why you have to put it's like a flat palm and you just kind of right in the middle.
But you know what?
Like the Philly Feud. Like the Philly Feud.
Yes.
The button on the Philly Feud.
It's the Philadelphia honk.
At the same time, when you're wrong, you sometimes can't get mad at a person's reaction. And unfortunately, in this case, you were wrong. So however they honk.
No, I'm not saying I was right. I'm saying there's a protocol involved.
It should be a lesser.
The little toot has to come first.
Yes.
Not the angry toot.
I feel like the angry toot should be reserved for egregious highway violations.
It's all part of us being a more civil world.
I agree.
What I'm talking about.
Do you remember that song by Geggy Ta? That was in that commercial about let me change lanes while I was driving in your car.
Yes.
All I want to do is to thank you. I always said that if more people listened to that song while they were driving, it would be, world would be a better place.
I'm just saying. I'm always I'm a pretty angry dude on the road, right?
Yeah.
But I have the protocol of not trying to make people feel bad with the blare.
Yeah.
You know?
My wife,
I may be, there's a lot of F words that come out of my mouth when somebody's goofing on the road.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to give them the angry hoot.
Right.
All right. We got that settled. Sambo, North Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sam.
Hey, Mike, Natalie, Tyrone, how y'all doing? ¿Cómo está?
What's going on, Sam?
Not much, buddy, not much, man. I just want to say something about the Sixers real quick. You know how people keep saying they want to get rid of either Ombi or Simmons?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get rid of none of those two guys. Not yet. Not even for this season.
Well, they're not going to do it for this season. It's over. The trading deadline's over.
Right. Well, I would like the coach. How about the coach give it to me after the all break? It depends how everything goes. I'd rather let him ride for this year.
Yeah, coach isn't going anywhere either, Sam.
All right,
rest assured that what you got now, this team, you ride the rest of the year.
Right, correct. Because I was listening to you sometime on Monday. I think it was Monday morning. Well, you're saying I better have a different coach, see how things are going to work.
Well, after that Miami game, that shook me. Like, I would not have been shocked if they decided to make the move.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm with you on that, man. I wanted to say something else, man. You guys are doing a good job. I got this new job. I'm a driver now. Mm-hmm. So I've been listening to you guys for the last past 3 months. And you guys doing a great job, man.
Thanks, Sam. I appreciate that, bro.
One more thing. Did you ever find those sneakers?
Yes, I did. I did find the sneakers.
You did find them?
And they were a very good price. See, when those sneakers were new, I paid $236 for them.
Right.
There, I found them on sale for $75. But I decided I may go in a different direction and go with a newer model, nouveau model, instead of going back to get the same sneak.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. If you found them or not?
Yeah, we found them. Natalie found them.
Oh, that's great, Natalie. Good job.
Natalie sniffed it out at a very good price. It's a very damn. It's a good price. I may have to get them just for collector reasons.
Yeah, you should have them if you love them that much to glue them.
Yeah, no, it's a style. It's a pretty good style. Mm-hmm. That they bailed out on a little too soon, I think. But I since I've been wearing those for a while. I'd rather stick my feet in something new.
Right.
So you stick your feet in something new, it feels, you get a little bounce.
Yeah.
You know?
Got some pep in your step.
Exactly.
So apparently the Clippers are not going to keep Isaiah Thomas. Now, we know he's not what he was, mm-hmm. but once he clears waivers, do you make the phone call just to come up from Washington and then move Neto or cut Neto then?
No.
You don't make the call for Isaiah?
No.
I'm just asking.
No, I got no interest.
Because apparently the Clippers also have no interest.
I had no interest in that.
And it might end up going to be a sad end.
Shame.
For him.
It is a sad end. Because he got hurt and it's over for him.
And his sister dies. He plays hurt, crying.
Yeah.
Goes out for 50 for Boston. They get rid of him. And now he was the same.
He had a buzz for a while, but it's kind of over for him. Sherrod in Mayfair, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sherrod.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, Sherrod?
What's up, Ty? What's up, Nat? How's everybody?
Everybody's good.
All right. Now, you know what? Talking Sixers talk, like, that's my team. I love the Sixers. We all had a lot of hopes for them and expectations this year, but you know what? I've always, I looked at Coach Brown and liked him as a person, and I didn't want them to get rid of him, especially after the Raptors, but it's sort of like this year was the first year I'm really wanting to get rid of him for various reasons. I'm going to start with this. Because it's a lot of basic things that they don't do on a consistent basis. Like, for instance, you have guys running back and forth to transition, right? But how many guys are really trying to get offensive rebounds? Now, let's say, for instance, if they move on from O'Quinn, right? And you see how, let's just say, and now we know when Rashawn Holmes was there. My point is, you had guys that was at least trying to get offensive rebounds and put them in, and they never get any time.
Yeah, we've had this discussion before with people. The offensive rebound is a dinosaur in the NBA because people score off transition. So you have to worry about your transition defense more than you have to worry about offensive rebounds.
I get it, but remember, you're right, but let's look at the games that we won. And let's look at how people have come back on us. Like, you know, it's been times that we were up. Let's look at the first Toronto game, right, when we played. We were in Toronto, and this was the game that Embiid was struggling. We're up by, 11 points? They literally came back in the fourth quarter, hanging around the rim after they're missing the shot, grabbing it, throwing it back to the wingman. And this is constant.
Yeah, but
a lot of people doing it.
Not really. Long rebounds, yes. You're not going to get the offensive rebounds that you used to get in this game.
I got it, but I mean,
I don't think you get it.
Okay, well,
you know how many guys that do offensive rebounds? There's like four guys in the league that offensive rebound, right? There's Andre Drummond, there's Gobert, there's Clint Capella. You know, those are the guys that offensive rebound, right?
Drop-off. Now, I'm not saying just always go for that. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, to limit transition is at least try to hustle, at least try to box out.
I get it, man. I don't know what to say. Offensive rebounding is a lost art in the league because teams are lightning fast. And if you give up easy buckets on transition, it makes it look worse on your total defensive effort. So it's unfortunate. The league is too fast now. It's not an old school league. Like, Andre Jones did a good offensive rebounder. His team stink. His team, they're not any good.
No.
He's the killer offensive rebounder. That doesn't help them. Right?
Right. And the Rockets, they just traded him.
They traded Capella.
But they give up 130 points a night, and then they just think, we'll get you 140.
Yeah.
When you get them, say they give up 120, they shoot out with teams. They're not known for getting stopped.
Yeah. Vucevic, another offensive rebound. Well, he can't move.
Russell's
and they stink.
Right.
Right? They're getting buried down the other end. All right. By the way, the last caller's name was Sherrod. As you know, it always triggers. Stuff always triggers what?
The wire.
Okay. Now, what am I talking about? Sherrod and the wire.
Because I only watched The Wire one time.
Why are people out there know exactly what I'm talking about? Sherrod was the young boy Bubbles was trying to school on the streets. We had the young boy who kept getting robbed with Bubbles Depot. Kept getting robbed by this dude in the alley. Would take his stuff and his money every day.
All right, so
Sherrod was the young boy who was trying to school. He was a young guy, kid on the street.
That was Sherrod?
Sherrod was the guy that Bubbles was trying with, almost like his son.
Well, what season was
after that? After that Johnny guy, that white dude that had, got beat up. That was early. That was first season. Sherrod came along a couple seasons later. I forget what season it was. But anyway, Sherrod met a sad ending. Because you remember, the guy was robbing Bubbles every day. Bubbles couldn't get any help from Herc and the police, so he decided to try to do it himself by getting a poison-spiked vial of heroin so that this robber dude would steal and kill himself. Well, Ciroc came home early, saw it, used it, died.
Now that part,
remember
that part, I remember.
That was Ciroc.
That was Ciroc.
All right, take a break. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
3:49, Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5, The Fanatic. Andre Drummond had something to say on Twitter here. What did he say? About to get traded. Cleveland.
Yeah, he's if there's one thing I learned about the NBA, there's no friends or loyalty. I've given my heart and soul to the Pistons, and for this to happen with no heads up makes me realize even more that this is just a business.
He's hurt, right? Is he in a better situation in Cleveland? He went to Cleveland. I feel bad for the guy because he went from one bad city to another one.
Detroit's a worse city.
It's a little upgrade to go to Cleveland.
Nah.
Yeah, it is.
Detroit has been gentrified.
Detroit's best city. Plus, you're almost in Canada.
Well, that part.
But at least you're not in Cleveland.
Yeah,
no, Cleveland's a better city than Detroit.
No, I'd rather be.
It really is.
Cleveland.
It's a better city than Detroit. It's a better restaurant city. They've spruced up the city.
They kept Kevin Love. They got the young guards. I actually think Cleveland will be better. Make the playoffs, not like a championship. We'll make the playoffs before the Pistons are, who can't still have to get rid of that Blake Griffin contract. And good luck with him making all that money with those legs. So he actually should look back on this, and they're going to let Tristan Thompson walk. I don't know why they didn't trade him, by the way. He's a free agent. This is what I'm talking about, these bad organizations. Why not get something back for the guy? And instead, they're not going to buy him out, and they're just going to have him play it out. Doesn't make any sense.
First of all, is Andre Drummond Bill Russell?
That's my issue.
Second of all, getting traded out of Detroit is a bad thing.
It's like one thing you were with the
Clippers, and they traded you to Minnesota. That would be harsh.
Right now, he did say he loves Detroit, and I guess the people in Detroit, he has a connection with the city. So I guess that's what he's hurt that they. All of us know all of our jobs. All of our jobs, whether it's the NBA or you're pushing a broom and everything in between, it's all a business.
Yeah, but we're not getting traded.
Yeah, but you just get fired.
Sometimes the check's
still clear for him. Ours is worse because the check stopped clearing.
Trade is not easy because you got to uproot, you have kids, and all that kind of stuff. I get that. But when you sign on to play professional sports, that's a byproduct of it.
It's all a business.
But here, we can choose. We're not going to get drafted by some radio station in Denver. We got out rude. we could quit. It's a different
animal. Do the show from the Rockies? I don't know.
Because I could be. You almost had me back check to check when you were ripping Michelle Murray. And then next thing, worse than check to check could be no check.
I wasn't ripping Michelle Murray. I don't know who made the decision.
I know.
I just think going on the street trying to get some Dandy Reed stuff is a tough assignment for Farzetta. You got to put a gun to a guy's head to do something like that. You know what I'm saying? I found feeling for my man here.
Taking care of him.
Yes. All right, let's go Anthony Pensalkin. Anthony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony.
Hey, Mike. How you guys doing?
What's up, Anthony?
Just want to preface what I wanted to talk about first just by saying I'm a big Sixers fan. Still have kind of whatever outlook on this year. Still going to be rooting for him, but my hopes aren't too high. Earlier, a caller made the comment that Brett Brown should have been fired at the end of last season, and you disagreed with him. I just wanted to give you this point and kind of hear your opinion on it. Just last year when Jimmy Butler was traded here and we traded Chamet and we got Tobias Harris, I feel like the general consensus was we have to go to the conference finals.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to believe that conversations weren't had in the Sixers organization, like, Brett Brown, we're going to give you all the firepower we could possibly get. You know, you got to make this happen. And I understand, like, that loss, the Game 7, Kawhi shot, you know, that was heartbreaking. You can't put maybe that play on Brett Brown. But I remember those playoffs very well. And there were a lot of moments, even in that series, being up 2-1 at home, losing, you know.
Losing Game 4 at home.
Yeah.
But you also have to put things in perspective and make yourself the front office. See, fans will go, they'll knee-jerk it more than a front office will be. And the fact of the matter is, at the point where Kawhi makes that shot, there was a big upswing in their fight. Like, they had to win a Game 6 to get to a Game 7, and they were playing their ass off in Game 7. So the context of it changes from game to game. And a front office just can't, like, look at it like a fan, like, wow, I'm just thinking of Brett and previous performance. It's the last moment that the front office has to consider.
Right. I understand that moment definitely gives Brett Brown, a fight. Like, those last two games, I understand. We were also up 10 in that Game 7 at one point and lost the lead.
Yeah, but they're in Toronto, the hardest place to play. So, like I was saying, everything is relative. You can be a fan and go, I always wanted Brett Brown to be fired. But when the moment really confronts you, it's a different circumstance. You got to measure a lot of things. I'm going to zip a coach that got beat on a four bouncer? That looks really bad.
Well, we should have never been in that position as well.
All right, I get you. It's such revisionist history that when it comes to Brett Brown, whether he should be fired. At that time, coming off a Game 7 in the hardest place to win against a team that winds up winning the NBA title, and you were on an upswing with your fight, it's hard for the front office to say, I'm not keeping him. It is. It just is.
I think the Sixers obviously took him to 7. I think they were down 2-0 and then beat the Bucks 4 straight to win in 6.
Yeah.
And then I think they won the championship. They definitely won that in less than 7. The Sixers actually gave the champions last year the best fight
they
of
did.
Everybody.
So, like I said, everything is in a context.
Right.
All right. 4 o'clock hour is ahead. Mike Misnelli, there's one line open. You can grab it. 610-63-0975. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.